Blog Talk Radio.
At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hard-working ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free stews, the only pet food with Red Barn Bully Sticks.
Blog Talk Radio. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Greetings and good morning. As your host, Havila Malone, here with another International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show. And well, we are always bringing information that's going to be of benefit to you and helpful from you. That is from Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's Guide to Success. It's really being able to break down 13 principles that can help literally change your life. And this morning, we're going to have a discussion around these principles that have been able to help not only myself, but a good friend of mine and colleague to really be able to help in our lives and things that we've been able to see through other people's lives. And sometimes you can get a tool or a book or some information that's really been helpful for you in some way, and to be able to have an opportunity to share that information with others is going to be it's a huge privilege and something that we're extremely happy to be able to do this morning. And so, of course, as we talk about Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, if it's a book that you have not had an opportunity to lay your hands on, then it's one you're going to want to pick up. It's one that you're going to definitely want to add to your collection. And Napoleon Hill was a young writer who had the assignment of going to interview Andrew Carnegie. So he actually went out to Carnegie's home, had opportunity to stay with him to be able to get some information for an article he was writing for his for a journal that he was employed by. And in the time that he was there with Carnegie, he got some very insightful information from him and was given an assignment because Andrew Carnegie saw something very special in Napoleon Hill, in this young man who was there, who really at the time had very little to no money in his pocket when he came to meet with him. And matter of fact, if it had not been for the fact that Andrew Carnegie allowed him to stay in his home, he wouldn't have had anywhere to be able to stay, because he just had enough money to be able to get to him. And we see how his life has tremendously changed, or had tremendously changed, from that point until the time of him getting a little bit older. And we find that Andrew Carnegie gave him an assignment that he was going to go out and interview over 500 of the most influential people of the time to be able to understand what it took for them to be able to become successful. What were the common themes that he could see between people like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, the Rockefellers, even President Roosevelt, and many, many, many more, of course, but just to see what it was about each of these individuals that really, what was their mindset, what were their habits, what were the things that they did that really helped them to be able to be the people who they were and achieve the levels of success that they did in their lives. And so it took Napoleon Hill nearly 20 years to be able to go around the country to be able to find each of these individuals and spend time with them to be able to extract all of this information, all of this knowledge from them, than to be able to put it down in this book. So we are very fortunate today to be able to have a guide that is so comprehensive, that breaks down all of this information and all this accumulated knowledge from all of these experts of the time. And so it can really help kind of bring down some of our time of learning things and getting to know things that can help us within our own lives. And so I want to introduce on the call this morning Ms. Sandra Richardson, who I have known for many years, and really a dynamic woman, dynamic businesswoman, mother of seven children, someone who has been through many ups and downs in her life, but have also reached tremendous levels of success throughout her life, and who I have the privilege of working with now as a part of my organization with Proof of What's Possible Incorporated and Inside Havilah's Corner with our television show. And so we have many, many discussions about different things, and as we sit down and talk about how do we get to the next level, how do we continue to improve not only personally but also professionally. And a lot of times what comes up in our conversations are things that we have learned and we have read through the book Think and Grow Rich. And so I was really excited about having the opportunity to have her on this call with the International Mastermind Association so that we can talk about some of those things that we've seen through this book that have had impact for us and impact for people around us to be able to help us achieve our goals. So welcome to the show, Ms. Sandra Richardson.
Well, good morning, Ms. Havilah. I thank you so very much for the opportunity to actually be on this call. I'm very appreciative. I'm very grateful, because I know at the end of it that I'll be a better person for it. So I certainly want to thank you for this opportunity. The chapter that actually resonates with me a lot is chapter 4, the chapter on auto-suggestion, which is the medium for influencing the subconscious mind.
Yeah, and that third step to riches that Napoleon Hill breaks down. So auto-suggestion. So for those, for the benefit of the audience or individuals who don't know what auto-suggestion is, or could you kind of break down what that principle is and then how it has been something of benefit for you, or what you pull from that?
Well, I found it to be an incredible and very resourceful concept, and me understanding it and actually applying it in my life has made great changes in my life, actually milestones, if you will. And part of understanding that process was learning that the five senses were actually played a key role in actually that stimuli getting to the subconscious. And when we think about the things that we do unconsciously, those things actually come from the subconscious. And not all the time the things that we do unconsciously are the things that are really good for us, because they come out of habits. And, of course, we know part of what we as humans try to do is separate ourselves from bad habits. So once I came to understand, if I could train my subconscious to be able to do the things that I do unconsciously, that will be a great influence in my life. And so as I began to read this chapter, I learned that I actually had the power to change my subconscious mind. And that idea really resonated with me because, again, realizing things that we do unconsciously can actually hurt us. So what if I could actually train that subconscious to change those unconscious things that were bad for me? And also what I learned was that how those five senses actually is the sense process that is used to help you to decipher let's put it this way. It helps you to be able to make a decision about how you're going to process the thing that you're experiencing at that time. And it goes to the conscious thinking mind. Those five senses, the thing that you're experiencing, it takes that to the conscious thinking mind, and the conscious thinking mind acts as an inspector. If you realize that, if you have the realization that you have the power to inspect the thing that you're experiencing at that time, then you can effectively guard your subconscious mind and decide whether this is a thing that you want to allow to go into your subconscious. Now, that is a very, very powerful ability that we have if we know that we have it. And like I said, once I came to realize that I had that, then I began to try to work very hard at changing my subconscious mind, using my conscious thinking mind to decipher what I was going to allow to go into that subconscious mind. It's similar to a garden and the seeds that you actually sow in that garden. And you get to decide what you're going to sow, what you're going to actually sow in that soil. And that's what the mind is like. The mind is like a beautiful garden, a beautiful mind. And you get to decide what seeds you're going to sow in that subconscious. And of course, it has to, you want it to grow. And because
I love the point that you make about that it's like a garden, and if you had a blank slate and the thing that I guess is fortunate but yet also unfortunate too is a lot of times we don't start off with a blank slate. We start off with whatever the programming is or whatever we've been taught coming up. So we have cultural influences, traditional family influences, and different things that have come into our subconscious mind and make us have certain beliefs or thoughts, and then translates out into our actions and then the results that we have in our lives. But then with that awareness, because I love how you spoke about earlier, once you became aware that you have control over or can have control over what goes into that unconscious mind and therefore becomes what it is that you manifest in your life, then you know that you can change it. So you know that beyond someone just saying, hey, this is how I am, this is my personality, these are the things that, you know, I've always done, you really have an opportunity to change that or tweak it to be what you want it to be. And I remember being given the example of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, because the conscious mind, it was almost like they said, if you were on the water and you were, riding the jet skis, well, of course, what's really directing your actions and directing the way that you're going is the boat. you think that the person on the jet skis or whatever, all you're doing is being pulled around and you're going in the direction that the boat is going. And so that boat really being synonymous with your subconscious mind, and that jet skier itself being your conscious mind. So to be able to really change the direction in which you're going, you have to be able to influence that subconscious mind, which is a lot more difficult to do. But as you were making mention that through auto-suggestion, you can tap into that subconscious mind and be able to make a difference in your life. And so that seems to be a principle that's really have been important for you and your development, and also for myself as well. Can you give a illustration of how you've been able to put this into practice or put this into use for yourself?
Yeah. I'm going to use an example. First of all, that influenced me to actually have this experience that I'm going to share. And it sort of went this way about the conscious and the unconscious mind. Use the illustration of a person, let's say a person that is a smoker. And smokers normally, smoke cigarettes, and they do this really in an unconscious way, because it has become a bad habit. You don't have to think about it. They just actually do it. It's not something they really think about. It's just a habit. But now, if they were able to do this in a conscious way, it might change. It has the ability to actually possibly change what they do in that moment. For instance, if they reach for that cigarette, and as they reach for the cigarette, the person consciously stop and say, now, if I keep doing this, maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or whatever, I may possibly find myself in a hospital actually suffering from lung cancer, and mm-hmm. having family come, my dear loved ones come to see me, and I'm thin as a rail, I'm gasping for air, I got oxygen on me, death looks imminent, and this is where this is actually going to take me, with cigarette in the hand. It could possibly change what that person do in that moment, because now they're doing it in a conscious way, can see the results right in front of them. They can actually see it as a movie right in front of themselves being played out, where this is actually going to take them, actually feeling the pain, imagining the pain that they're in, the great pain that they're in, the suffering that they're going through, and regretting everything that they have done that actually brought them to that point, and then have the loved ones see them. Well, I remember that having an effect on me to the point I decided when it came to my health, that if I continue to unconsciously reach for things that was affecting my health internally, it's not something that you could always see on the outside, because, you know, you get the rave reviews about looking this way and looking that way, but you know what you're doing, you know how you're eating, and you know you come to know where these things can lead. And so I started training myself to actually do things in a conscious way. As I reach for this, then if you do this, this is where this is going to end up. And actually following through on that did change my behavior. It did change my eating habits. It did change my lifestyle. I actually became a vegetarian for 12 years. I'm not saying that's the best way to go or that's what people ought to do, but what I am saying is there was a great change in my thinking, in my
As a vegetarian,
mind.
I'm going to say that it's an excellent approach to take.
Well, I tell you, it was the best time of my life, and I'm trying to get back to that, and I struggled to get back to that because I do realize that it was the best health that I had enjoyed in my life. And so, yeah, that's my experience that I have, that when I realized that I had the power and I had the control and I can do things more consciously as opposed to doing things unconsciously, and also not being aware that I could train my subconscious to actually be able to manifest in my life the things I wanted to manifest in my life, and actually my unconscious behavior became a great benefit for me. So, yeah, so auto-suggestion, that third step to riches, has been paramount in my life. It has been very, very effective, very, very resourceful, and I would take this to my grave, these concepts and these teachings and these thoughts, because they've been great for me. It was wonderful for me.
Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing that. And we're going to take a little break, and then as soon as we come back, we're going to give some suggestions on actually how people can use this principle of auto-suggestion so that they can start changing some of those unconscious thoughts and turn them into habits and new behaviors. So you're listening to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Havila Malone, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm. So welcome back to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show. We're talking about Napoleon Hill's Thinking We're Rich. We're here with myself, Havila Malone, the host of Inside Havila's Corner, which comes on as a television show every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. on My54, which is WUPL television, for those of you who are out in the New Orleans market, or you can catch all of the past shows on my YouTube channel, that's at Havila Malone. And we're talking today about, you know, what are the tools or what are the principles out of Napoleon Hill's Thinking Grow Rich book that has been able to help us personally in our lives. And we're here with Ms. Sandra Richardson, who's a very accomplished, not only sales director, but also mother of 7 children, has been through so many things within her life and been able to use this book to really be able to benefit her. And so we're just having an open, candid discussion about some of the things that, you know, we have found a benefit. If you want to join the conversation, either you have questions or there's things within the book that have really been of benefit for you that you want to share, then please feel free to give us a call at 661-554-9219. And I think you press *1 or #1, is whatever prompting is letting you know to do, to be able to raise your hand so that we can bring you in on the conversation. So we were just talking about auto-suggestion and how that fourth step to riches, or that third step within Thinking Grow Rich, which is his step towards riches and step towards helping you to transform your unconscious thoughts so that they become conscious behaviors to give you the results that you're looking for through your life through using self-suggestion. And so we're going to be talking about how to actually apply some of that and what can be done to actually help to change those thoughts or how that self-suggestion actually works. So, Ms. Sandra, how have you been able to actually put this principle into practice? Is there like a specific thing that you do to be able to help you to really tap into your unconscious thoughts through use of auto-suggestion?
Well, thanks again, Havila. But like I said, is very important that for me, it was very important and still is that I continue to work on my subconscious mind, understanding that it plays a tremendous role in my behavior, in my action. And with that information and with that knowledge, I knew that it was imperative that I focus on that. And because of that, I have been able to make better decisions. And, of course, we know our lives really, at the end of the day, is really a sum total of the decisions that we make. And not only decisions that I made in terms of my health, but I can remember when I worked for this Fortune 500 company a couple of years ago, actually a little less than a couple of years ago, I can remember a change because I had a change in thought and change in mind and was working on changing that subconscious. That was a great a great thing that I accomplished at that place. And I'll never forget it because it was a milestone for me because I actually got to see the power of employing the principle of auto-suggestion. And it went something like this. It's the company is based on sales. A little bit of history of that company, that particular branch that I worked at, was that it had not seen the kind of sales that they had been looking for, like for like over 30 years, and the company is like 70
wow.
years old. And I remember going there and seeing a great opportunity, and I was part of a staff of people, of salespeople of over 20 people there, and our quota was like $30,000 a month. And so most of the people there, they were averaging like something like that, $15,000, $20,000 to $30,000 a month. To get anything more than that, it really was extraordinary work, and the company actually recognized you when you did go above those numbers. Well, I never did consider myself as an average person, and so as I worked there, I actually I was not a $30,000 quota person. My numbers averaged maybe like 30 to 50, and that was every month. And they thought that was extraordinary. And to me, it was just like hard work. And all I knew was that because of the product and the ability to sell it, and it was a product that was so needed, I had set a goal. I never forget, I set a goal 1 month, and my goal was to reach $100,000. And, you know, that was put out there because we had opportunities to share what our goals were every Monday morning. So my goal was for the new month was $100,000. And everybody was looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I had a coach at that time. I had a lifestyle coach that I could have at my was available to me to call whatever I needed to talk to him. So I called him and I told him what I wanted to do. And, you know, he gave me great advice. We talked for a few minutes, about 15 minutes. Basically, he said, Sandra, you want to do that? You can do it. And I understood, I had already understood how the subconscious mind worked. And so I began to tell myself, okay, I can do this and I will do it. And I actually, of course, had to have a work ethic behind me, and I did. And I guess if I want to shorten the story, the bottom line was I did reach that $100,000, and it was at the last minute. And I remember it was on Christmas Eve when I actually got my last sale that put me over the top, and everybody thought it just was phenomenal because I worked the week that nobody else was working because it was around Christmas time and everybody was taking it pretty easy, you know, and relaxing and enjoying the, you know, enjoying each other and just, you know, that's usually the time when everybody just
so tell me, because that's really incredible to go from everyone has an average sale of 30,000 for you to have hit an all-time high of over a 30-year history in the company's history that you were able to hit $100,000 on quota within that month. And so what were you doing that was different? So I know you made mention of having a coach, which that is something that's extremely important, being able to have that outside influencer, that outside perspective that's guiding and directing some of our actions. So sometimes we get the opportunity to get outside of our own head and really get perspective and then get information from experts who can really help us in some way. So that's why even with the phrase that even coaches need coaches, and it's so very true. And matter of fact, a little bit later on in our discussion, we'll be talking about that mastermind principle and how important it is to surround ourselves with the right type of people and the people who are going to be able to help us to grow. But you used as a part of your tools a coach, but also what did you do, or what was your mindset or your overwhelming thoughts that really helped make the difference for you to go from what was at average for the majority of everyone in the company, 30,000, for you to do 100,000? Like, what was it?
Well, first of all, I had faith, which is the second step to riches. My faith was strong, and I also was able to put to work some of the principles and ideas and thoughts of Think and Grow Rich, in that I actually would see myself with the bonuses. I would see myself with the rewards. I would see myself spending the money. I would see myself sharing the money. I would visualize that as it actually had already happened, which has some association with the definition of faith. And then I got highly organized. That's what I did. I got highly organized. I got all of my leads together, everything that I can find. I got it highly organized. I made more phone calls than I had ever made. I was tenacious. I was unstoppable. I was determined. I worked in the rain. I worked when it was storming, when everybody was still in the office, just chilling, if you will. But I knew what I wanted to accomplish. It was going to take extraordinary measures, that I couldn't do what I had been doing, that something had to change. And I knew I had to, whatever I was doing, I had to triple up on it. I had to do just a lot more than what I was doing. And as a result, it paid off. I mean, it really, I was rewarded for the work and the goal that I set. I really think if I would have set a higher goal, perhaps that would have even happened.
You would have hit that goal as well.
Yeah, I think I would have hit that goal as well, because when I did actually called my coach and told him I actually done it. We celebrated and all of that. And I said, wow, if this will work for this, it will work for anything. And
yes. And I love how you made mention of getting yourself prepared for making that shift, and it really took you changing a mindset and starting to use visualization, and you saw yourself with the rewards, you saw yourself, you know, hitting the goals. And we literally as human beings have no limit to our potential. There's nothing that you can think about. And matter of fact, this is even from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, because what he summarizes the entire 13 principles into is this one simple statement of, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. So you really have to be very cognizant of what you're thinking about, what your thoughts are, and how you can put that auto-suggestion into use within your own life is through, first and foremost, knowing what are your dominating thoughts. What are the things that are constantly going on in your mind? Like, what's the thing that you think about all day long? Because if the thought is, you know, life's so hard, I'm too old, like this is, you know, this is never going to work, then you will actually see that play out in your life. So you, once you become aware of what it is that you're thinking, and apparently your thought had to have changed to, I can do this, I can hit this goal, I see myself now, you know, in the winner zone, so to speak. And then you go about guarding your thoughts by, and maybe it's writing down affirmations, writing down things that you want to accomplish, things that you want to do. There's something in use of that auto-suggestion, because a lot of times where we want to be in our lives is not where we currently are, but we can't use our current circumstances or our current situation to be the barometer or the gauge for our entire life or even our future, because I know it's been mentioned before that what you were thinking about 5 years ago is actually what's being played out in your life today. So knowing that or having that awareness, start to change the things that you think about today so that a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you are actually having the manifestation of those thoughts. And you can do, matter of fact, it's something that I have used for myself personally, is on my, in my bedroom, I used to have a television there on the main wall, and instead of, I actually took that television out, removed that, and I started writing on these sticky notes, like all of these different affirmations, all of these different things, like, you know, I am wealth, I am health, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm secure, I'm prosperous, I'm successful, like all of these affirmations for myself, for things that I wanted to see within my own personal life, and I have those up there on that wall, and so every day I see it, every day. I read it. It's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. It's the last thing that I see before I go to bed at night. And it is constantly changing my thoughts. So whereas before, if I woke up in the morning, I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to be a tough day, or, oh, you know, whatever the thoughts that were dominating my thinking, it had to change, but I had to be consciously aware of doing it, so that once I continue to every day, as a habit, you know, talk about these different things or to say these different affirmations, then it becomes a part of my subconscious mind, and it becomes a part of my belief system, and then it becomes a part of my habits, and then it becomes actually a part of the reality that I see before me. So that auto-suggestion is a very powerful chapter, and I'm so glad that you brought that one up, because it actually is something that so many of us, it affects all of us, but now being aware that it can actually be something that you can have control over, which is extremely powerful and extremely helpful. It's good to know that. And we're here on International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show. We're about to take a break, and we will be right back with our discussion of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Do you have a message, a product, or a service that you really believe in? Do you want to share it with the world, yet you feel stuck in knowing how to make that happen? Hi, my name is Havila Malone, and I'm a television host and number one best-selling author of How to Become a Publicity Magnet in Any Market via TV, Radio, and Print. And this book gives you everything that you need to know on how to radiate your presence, how to magnify your voice, and attract the media's attention so that you can exponentially grow your business and truly make a difference in the lives of others. You can obtain a copy of my book, How to Become a Publicity Magnet, on Amazon.com, or you can check out my website at HavilaMalone.com. That's HavilaMalone. If you're really ready to take this year to a whole nother level, learn 5 steps to win in your personal and professional life, pick up a copy of the book today.
And welcome back to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Havila Malone, and we're here today having a discussion about the principles within Think and Grow Rich that have really been able to affect us personally and been able to help us to achieve things and grow in different areas within our lives. And if you have any questions or even comments on different areas of the book that have been really impactful for you, then pick up the phone and give us a call at 661-554-9219. That's, again, 661-554-9219. You can press *1 or #1, whichever the prompt tells you to be able to raise your hand, and we'll take that question from you. And matter of fact, we have a question on the line from one of our listeners. So hello, are you there? Are you on the line? Let's see if we can get our caller on the line. Greetings, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to thank you, Havila, for being on the chance to be on the show this morning, and thank Michelle Richardson for her informative information on auto-suggestion. It's not a question so much as a statement. I just want to point out that one of the things that Sheila mentioned is that it's not just about auto-suggestion, is that she also worked. She got to working hard. She had put that momentum in place. So it's not just auto-suggestion that got her there. It was also the fact that she worked hard. So I just I just want to make our listeners aware that, yeah, you can make auto-suggestion, but you also need to put some backbone behind that too.
Absolutely. It takes action to be able to put any of these principles into place and to be able to really be able to benefit from them. So thank you so much for sharing them, Ms. Stephanie.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if we have any other callers who would like to, you know, come on in, chime in the conversation, your questions or comments, then please do so. And so we're here with Ms. Sandra Richardson, and we're having a conversation about principles within Think and Grow Rich. So we just talked about auto-suggestion, and that was one of the main ones that was helpful for you in really learning the power of that particular success principle from Napoleon Hill. And one of the success principles that I absolutely love and have found to be the jackpot from Napoleon Hill success principles was that which is covered in Chapter 5, and that of the imagination. So the imagination, which is broken down as the workshop of the mind, this is something that is really, it's really, really powerful, because actually within the last 50 years, we've seen the most advancements in technology, in a lot of different areas within history, within even the human race. We've seen so many different things move forward, and we see that a part of that has been through the use of the imagination. And in the Think and Grow Rich book, it breaks down that there's two different forms of imagination, one being the synthetic imagination, which is talked about as far as, like, just, hey, the education that you get, the things that you've read, the information that you've been able to observe through life, and so you're able to take those concepts or those thoughts and formulate it into ideas that can be played out into, hey, you know, you were able to, you saw a building down the street, and so now you're saying, okay, well, I can build a building, or I want to have a company that's similar to that one. So it was through use of some outside stimulus that you either saw or got educated on, and then you use your imagination to be able to kind of create your own version of it. And then there's the creative imagination. And Napoleon Hill breaks this down as it being the human mind's direct communication with infinite intelligence. This is where those hunches, those inspirations, those gut feelings, those voices of, you know, move in this direction, you know, do this, don't do that, where that comes from is that communication with that infinite source. And this is where it's one of the most untapped sources of imagination and one of the greatest areas for growth within human development, period, according to Napoleon Hill. And this is definitely a principle that I really love because it reminds me of children. And it reminds me, and Ms. Sandra, of course, I know you have 7 children, so this is probably something that you have been able to see play out in so many different areas where maybe growing up you've seen your children as they use their imagination to be able to accomplish different things or to be able to come up with different thoughts or, you know, different things throughout their growing up. So, like, how have you been able to see the imagination piece play out even within your own, you know, family or your children's lives?
Oh, well, as you know, that is one of the things that I am most proud of is my children and the things that they have achieved in their lives. I'm very, very proud of them. Well, in particular, if I had to focus on anyone, I would focus on my twins. I have twins that are 30 years old at this point, and as watching them with their creativity, I mean, I was just floored to watch them and their interest in various types of things. I mean, at very young ages, I saw that they were interested in electronics. And as we would drive to and fro in our travels, there would be things on the sidewalk, and they'd ask for them, like televisions and microwaves, and like, you know, Mom, can we get this? Can we get that? I want to get that. I can. I want to work on it. I'm like, I'm not stopping to pick up a television or a microwave. Well, I'm not doing that. But at some point, they would ask for it. So I didn't understand it. Now, their father does have an electronic background. And so I would pick these things up, and these kids were actually, they were like 8, 9, 10, 11, and growing up, they would repair these things. And we had a room full of electronics that we would give to family members, because they would actually go in and repair these things. And, you know, they were interested in art. I mean, they were interested in so many things, and we waste so much money really trying to, you know, see just where their strengths were, you know, because it takes money to do that. And so we were fortunate to have a little bit of that at that time to actually, you know, help them with the things that they desired or the creativity that we saw in them. And it turns out that in those particular cases, they're actually working in those fields that I saw from as little kids in them. They actually have degrees in those fields. And they are very, very, very talented. And, of course, I have other kids that are very, very successful at the things that they do. I had one. I remember he'd walk around with a Texas Instrument calculator. Selling. I would go to Sam's, these big stores where you can accumulate stuff and get a large quantity of stuff, and he'd sell stuff to his brothers and sisters and charge them interest. And today he's a very, very successful businessman. You know, and so yeah,
I saw him extremely successful real estate broker. Yes, So the twins, he said that you all would go drive around in the neighborhoods or whatever. They would see electronics that would just be sitting out there that were not functioning, and at 8, 9 years old, they would just be able to figure it out or be able to just make these things work with, I mean, did they, because I'm thinking back, if they were 30 and 9, I'm going to say, you didn't have Google necessarily at the time to be able to figure out or get the instructions on how to do it. So with, I mean, how were they able to do those type of things?
Well, they would break the things down. I mean, stuff would be all over the place. I wasn't really that involved with how they do it. I would come home and things would be all over the place, and eventually it'd get repaired, and then I'd come home, and they've made other actually functioning devices out of something that was a microwave. Now they've made something else out of it, some other gadget. I remember I had a fan that I was very fond of because it was a special type of fan. I came home and found out they had converted my fan into a toy, an automobile that actually was running by remote. And I was furious because I was furious because this was a very special fan that I had, and I'm looking at this remote with this toy, and I'm saying, "Oh, what is that? Where did that come from?" And then I see my fan all dismantled. So
they really were a use of their imagination to be able to take things from whatever form they were in to be able to create something different. And I love because within children you see that so readily. You see it so easily that they will sit there and think of all kind of just out of the world concepts or ideas, and for your children and for many, I'm sure we're able to actually bring that to life. And what I think is so beautiful about that is that we have that same ability. Mm-hmm. We have that same ability to be able to think about anything that we want to bring into existence, anything that we want to be able to accomplish. We can literally be able to sit back and just let our imaginations go wild and be able to come up with a plan of action to be able to bring those things into existence. And when we really allow ourselves to shut out a lot of the noise or the limiting beliefs or the, you know, the voices that are saying, you know, that you're limited or that you can't accomplish this or you can't do that, and you shut that out and you really just allow yourself to be connected with that infinite intelligence or that creative source that we have within us and that we are tapped into, then you can really truly create and accomplish anything. And you even look at Walt Disney as a huge example of someone who was able to do that. And it seems that we have actually a caller on the line, so let's take our call.